This is the Drive and Dish Podcast, talking about NBA news, stats, and fantasy. To start it off, it's Tim Tompkins.
It seems like the Heat this year, with the way that they're built, they have a lot to prove, and I think that they could potentially be the 2 seed in the East.
Kevin Rayfuse.
It's October 28th. The Spurs play the Thunder. And so you got LaMarcus Aldridge making his debut with San Antonio. You've got Kevin Durant, first game back, coming off foot surgery. You know, we know these teams have battled before, twice in the Western Conference Finals.
Justin Cousart.
You got to get somebody around Davis. Maybe some guards that can get on the ball, so not Lance Stevens.
Let's go.
So Tim and I were talking earlier because Halloween is coming up this week, and Tim is maybe the biggest Halloween fan of all time, which I found out in a very passionate fashion this morning when I declared that I think Halloween is the most overrated holiday of all time.
Not only do I think you are so completely and utterly wrong on this, you found this out last year when we were both working and our job invited us to do something at like 10 o'clock on Halloween. And I was livid about it and went out by myself in protest because how dare you invite me to go do something on the one holiday I care about?
Tim, it was a steak dinner.
There's no dinner that you should take away my one holiday out of the. I don't care about Thanksgiving. I hate Valentine's Day.
What about New Year's?
New Year's, I don't care about New Year's either. Honestly, okay. It's like amateur hour.
It's Halloween, man. I don't really.
So Halloween is hands down my favorite. It's the one time you can go out and everybody is really funny. Everybody looks good. Everybody's all dressed up. It's just like.
No, I agree.
If you're single, it's your one chance to go home with whatever fantasy you're into. You're into nurses, you can do that. You're like you're drunk and you feel not that you actually can, but you feel like you can. I want to go home with the librarian tonight. Find a librarian.
I want to go home with Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Right.
No,
go do it. You can do whatever you want. But you can be whoever.
But this
you
is
want.
My thing. That's great in everywhere, but Jacksonville this year.
Why?
Florida, Georgia. I will not make it out. I will be tailgating from 8 in the morning till 7 or 8 at night. There is no way I'm going to be able to move that over.
That's one of the biggest tailgating parties of all time.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
It seems like that's a negative.
No, well, I'm saying
it's going to bleed into it. Everybody's going to be all dressed up.
My
whole thing is like dressing up is kind of overrated and you're kind of hot. And it's socially unacceptable to go trick-or-treating after you're, like, 12 years old.
So that's what you want, candy?
Well, no.
That's the other thing.
My thing is just, like, I could be drunk at a bar any weekend. It's like, yeah, I get the whole you're dressed up thing, but I'm basically just doing the same exact
thing
I do every other weekend in a costume. How can you possibly look at me and tell me that you don't enjoy Christmas more than Halloween?
You get presents.
There's basketball on all day.
And there's basketball
on The only reason I enjoy Christmas is because there's basketball on all day. I usually spend Christmas alone. I don't mind. It doesn't bother me. It's actually kind of nice because nowhere is open.
Right.
But Christmas
Chinese
is my second.
Places.
Fine. But Christmas is my second favorite holiday. So it's like, if I were you, I'd compare it to like, I can't stand Thanksgiving. I'm forced to go to like 4 different dinners and sit with a whole bunch of people I don't really want
to
see and eat turkey, and I don't really like
turkey.
Wow.
You can eat all the other stuff.
Tim Tompkins is just ripping the Thanksgiving feast right now.
I hate Thanksgiving.
But
the most overrated holiday of all time, hands down, it needs to be done Valentine's Day.
Oh, okay,
it's one-sided. It is let me go spend hundreds of dollars on my lady and get a card in return.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
I mean, Valentine's Day is the biggest ripoff holiday ever. And
I mean,
it's only because the women don't celebrate it.
I don't agree with that.
I mean, I've had women
overrated.
Get me things for Valentine's Day.
And what
Day.
Do you get? Tell me what you get them.
This is neither here nor there. I agree that it's overrated. When Valentine's Day to me, like, it's not even a real holiday. It's a commercial holiday. And that's why I'm not even, like, kind of lumping Valentine's Day in here. The underrated holiday that we haven't talked about, and this is only for our American listeners. Dude, I love the 4th of July. Fourth of July rules. Fireworks, barbecues, it's gorgeous
Beer.
Out. Outside activities, there's brews usually. Like, come on, man, the 4th is great.
No, that's one that I literally do not care at all about.
Dude, where's your patriotism? This is America.
America.
And this is the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. My name is Kevin Rafees. Joining me to my left, my co-host, Tim Tompkins.
Well, don't lie, but it sure does text me all of the time.
And behind the boards, keeping us honest as always, our producer, Justin Kuzart.
Red Zone and Chill?
That's an American football reference for, again, yes, for the international listeners.
It's also a Netflix reference.
It is. Well, yeah, kind of.
So it's a blending of the two. It's a play on
words.
No,
I get it. I know what Netflixing and chilling is, Tim.
Okay.
I'm hip.
I was going to go as that for Halloween if I did make it out. I was just going to wear a shirt that said Netflix on it and then carry around a bag of ice.
That would get heavy after a while.
Well, yeah, maybe fake ice.
Or maybe it melts and then it's not really that heavy.
Netflix and wet.
I wanted to do Nick Young's costume.
Yeah, please tell me you guys saw this. We got to post this on our Twitter page ASAP.
Yeah, it'll be up there. And so it's Nick Young in a present that says "From God to Women."
It's just perfect. It's literally the perfect costume for Nick Young. Is there anything more Nick Young than that costume?
Oh, it's hilarious. Where's
Iggy?
I think my favorite costume was Westbrook going as Steven Adams, though.
Yo, Westbrook got into it. He did the full tattoo on his arm and everything.
Oh, yeah. He really went all out. It was great.
Kevin, you cannot sit here and talk all this smack about Halloween and then laugh and say how great the costumes are.
Costumes are funny, and some costumes are funny. But you got to remember, for every great costume, there's like 20 people slumming it, where it's just kind of
like what I did.
Put on some cat ears and look at me, and it's just stupid.
Remember what I was last year?
I don't think I did. I see you?
I don't know if you did or not.
Yeah, I don't think
I grabbed,
so.
I grabbed a cable, wrapped it around a fake chicken, and wore a blue shirt, and then went to the bars.
Well, that is your fault for not being creative.
Well, that's because I didn't think I was going to go out. Yeah. But, like, there's costumes like that, and then there's actually good costumes.
I make a great Where's Waldo.
Tim was that last year. Well, puns can be funny sometimes, though. Like, if you get a punny costume, you know, like my one friend, we had tie-dye day back in high school. It was part of Spirit Week. And instead of wearing a tie-dye shirt, he wore a tie and a white t-shirt that said dye underneath it.
You probably can't do that anymore. I feel like high schools wouldn't allow that. A shirt that says dye on it.
I don't know what kind of communist school you're going to.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, there's been a lot of shootings. I saw one recently
What does it have to do with that?
Listen, I saw, speaking of, and this is very important because I think that you could do this, Kevin, and then you can not dress up and still have a costume, is that you wear your regular clothes out, your jeans and your plaid shirt, and you have a sign that says nudist on strike.
That's funny. That's funny.
You should go
I might actually really do that.
You should go on as a Tinder profile.
I saw that. Saw that one. I'm not sure. I have to be Calvin and Hobbes this year, okay?
Why?
I wanted to do Dexter and Victim, but anyway, it doesn't matter. We have a review on iTunes, and thank you so very much for leaving this because we really do appreciate it. Blah, 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 Kevin.
This review comes from Canada. we're sticking in Canada this week. It is from, the name of this review, I should say, is Best Podcast Within Reasonable Realms That You Won't Trash Yourself For. It's a 5-star review by Halal Israel. And he says, like the sixth man of the year, this podcast makes all the difference, minus the noise and minus the Joe Johnson-style salary. The intro is usually funny, and when it's not, the content that follows is worth the wait. Winky face. I enjoy hearing the fun you guys have while recording, since we all love speaking with our guys about the NBA. 3 thumbs up emojis.
I feel like that was really valid. It's like, as long as you don't think that we're really great, we're actually pretty good.
Yeah, I like it.
You know, I was thinking there was another player, and I can't remember who signed a contract recently, but he signed a really big contract, and how we call these players that are really good crap players, but really we're judging them by the salary, not actually by how good they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Joe Johnson, for example, I can't remember who this other player was, but Joe Johnson, for example, is a really good basketball player on an inflated salary, but we just talk about him as if he wasn't a very good basketball player. It's not that he wasn't. It's just that his salary was too big. So as long as you don't think we're a great podcast, we're okay.
Well, and I think it goes without saying, too, that like...
That's a really long explanation.
That was a really long explanation. And I think the obvious thing it goes without saying is, too, like, just because we say someone's bad at basketball, they're in the NBA. Like, if you're in the NBA, you're in the 0.11 or 0.001% of best basketball players in the world. You remember Scalabrine? Remember Brian Scalabrine? he used to always get crap about how people like legitimately thought he was bad at basketball because he was the 12th man. And he just started playing. He's like, I'll play anybody they want. I don't care how good you are. Bring your best. I'll play them one-on-one. And he just started smoking people.
No, it's absolutely valid. I mean, even Deontay Christmas is an amazing basketball player. He's just not in comparison to everybody else.
He just got signed.
Did he really?
Yeah, he got signed by the Cavs.
Oh, no kidding. How about Glenn Rice Jr.?
Shooting himself.
Yeah. Half pound of marijuana.
Figuratively and literally.
Mm-hmm. $6,000 in his pocket.
Wonder what he was doing.
Probably buying a half pound of marijuana.
Yeah.
But why are we getting the news?
Tell me something I do not know. Do not know.
Now. If you do not know the present, how can you claim to know the future?
Now on NBA News on the Drive and Dish podcast.
We need to know now.
All right, first in your news, Andre Drummond exploded for 18 points and 19 rebounds in the Pistons' opener. The Bucks say the opening of their new arena will be delayed by a year. Curry also exploded in their season opener. He scored 24 points in the first quarter. He ended up with a total of 40 points in the Warriors' win. Milwaukee says they are confident Jabari Parker will return to the team in November. Glenn Rice Jr. was shot in the leg and arrested for carrying a half pound of marijuana. He was shot outside of T.I.'s restaurant. The Suns unveil a giant Steve Nash bobblehead. This is to commemorate his upcoming induction into their Ring of Honor. And that's your news for this week.
Something.
So we spent a bit of time talking about how, for some reason, the media, that nobody is giving the Warriors credit, even though they were historically a great team last year. They posted a number one offensive and defensive efficiency, as well as historic levels and point differential, which I believe is probably the best indication of a good team. But nobody is really picking them to repeat this year.
Right. It's because it's hard to repeat.
It's hard to repeat, and that's what a few people are saying.
Yeah.
Other people are maybe saying that the West is so good, it's hard to favor them. However,
also valid.
If you go to realgm.com and you click on their survey right now, and it has a survey of which team do you expect to make it out of the West to the finals. We have the results.
Yeah, out of a total of 972 votes so far, that'll probably go up. The Warriors are favored at 29.2%. The Spurs are right behind with 27.7%. Here's my other problem with the graph is they don't have it in order of percentage. Like, the next one they have is the Rockets at 10%, but then the Thunder are at 15%. Like, I just want them to organize that better, personally. Sorry.
Great insight.
Yeah. So the first two, Warriors, Spurs, Thunder, Rockets, then the Clippers, Grizzlies, and then other is 6.7%. So whoever other is...
It's got to be Memphis.
No, Memphis.
No, Memphis is 3% on.
Oh,
that.
They just mentioned Memphis. Oh man, I zoned out for that sec. God, who would that possibly be?
Is
that
Pelicans?
It's probably delusional Lakers fans too have got to be in a mix there.
I wish I could see. No, it's not going to let us.
No, I think it's just they give you the option for other. I guess I'm a little bit surprised that OKC is so low because you can't take much away from preseason. But I was watching an OKC game the other day. And oh my God, OKC looks
good.
Dude,
you are fully like on Twitter, in real life, off the mic. You are beating the Oklahoma City bandwagon right now. You are the drumbeat to their parade currently.
Dude, they look so good right now.
No, a lot of people are really high on the Rockets too.
Zach Lowe is really high on the Rockets. He just did his 35 bold predictions for the NBA season, and Houston was one of them. He thinks Houston's going to be right in the mix to come out of the West, mm-hmm. but. Yeah, I mean, I'm high on OKC, too. Don't get me wrong. Like, I think OKC is very slept on.
Did you have a chance to check any of their preseason games?
A little bit, yeah. I saw maybe a game and a half worth of OKC preseason. I mean, if KD's healthy, just him and Westbrook alone should be enough to get them back into the mix. But, if Billy Donovan, you know, maybe he has that Steve Kerr effect, which we always talk about, where this was a great team that, now, in OKC's case, I think it was a lot of injuries that did in a potential run and, you know, the worst trade of all time. But
no, it was injuries every year after. I mean, they were still really good, but every single year there was some sort of injury, whether it was Westbrook or Durant or Ibaka. Every year it was
just
somebody
some combination
was
of it.
Well, yeah. They're starting five.
Can we please talk about their starting five?
Well, their starting five has put up some really impressive numbers. I can't think of the numbers off the top of my head. I don't have the stats.
They're still starting Roberson.
I know, and I'm going to talk to you about that next episode because I have the stats.
Oh, I thought I was ready for this one. Oh,
no,
I
will pull it
cool.
up.
We can save it. I was all excited to hear Justin.
I'm excited. I have
us both of
page,
us. And said
a page and a half of information for you, Tim. Page and a half.
The kid cannot hit the broadside of barn.
He doesn't have to.
They literally don't guard him. Like, I didn't believe it until I watched the game with Tim, and I was like, wow, they have sagged so far off.
Okay, and also, he has been working on it. That's my rebuttal to that. But I'm telling you, on a team that has Durant, Westbrook, and Ibaka, you don't need another scoring first player.
But you need the threat of it. That's what you need because it
opens
up lanes
for
everybody.
When he has the defense that he has.
Hang on. We got to save this for Saturday. Okay. We don't want to waste this now. I can't wait for Justin to become the number one Andre Roberson fan.
I will. I'll jump on that bandwagon.
Is the number one Derek Williams fan. I feel a little left out. I need to find a random NBA player to attach to. But anyway, going back to the survey, in terms of Golden State being one, I mean, I'm not surprised by it if it's a fan vote, number one, because for a few reasons. I think Steph Curry mania is at an all-time high. He's the defending MVP. He's been all over. I think the common American household beyond the NBA knows who Steph Curry is at this point. I think people automatically see champion and vote twice. And the Warriors didn't make any changes. You know, that was the big thing or theme of the Warriors this offseason. It ain't broken, clearly, so don't fix it. And they only made the only minor tweak they really made was Jason Thompson filling David Lee's role. And you know, I think we've said on the show, I mean, it's my intro quote, for God's sake, that I think people aren't giving the Warriors enough credit. Mm-hmm. I really don't. Like, I think they're slacking like they got, or people are acting like they got lucky last year. They definitely did not get lucky. However, again,
they did get lucky with the injury thing. They
right,
didn't really
but
go
you,
through
but
many
so
of those.
Did every NBA champion ever. Like, I'm tired of hearing about Golden State being lucky. Golden State was not lucky last year. State was great.
You brought this up before, Kevin, but you can only play your opponents.
Right.
And so to dismiss somebody because they beat everybody that they played, like, you can't help who you play.
Exactly. But now,
unless
granted, that being said, I didn't pick Golden State to repeat. And I don't think they're going to win the West, but that's just because of more of the difficult. Again, it goes back to the two points that Tim brought up initially. It's really hard to repeat as NBA champions. Extremely, extremely difficult. And the West is historically good again. There's just five teams that were mostly mentioned in that poll that you really could see winning it this year. That's, again, not a knock on Golden State. Golden State could very well go right back out and win it again, and I don't think it would stun the three of us, but I'm not going to pick Golden State either.
I just think it was more surprising to me at how high people have the Spurs right now. They have them, I mean, they're only a few points, percentage points behind the Warriors.
Well, they're riding the LaMarcus Aldridge.
Right. Well,
train.
I mean, yeah,
and
I guess
it's just it's the Spurs. Like,
yeah, I know
it's tough to bet against the Spurs when they've done this for 20 years now.
I'm really worried, and we talked about it on the season previews. But I'm really worried about their guard play, not just their point guard, but their shooting guard depth.
I think
that's going to be an issue for them.
It's extremely valid, and the argument is you don't know how well LaMarcus Aldridge, who's a guy who's needed the ball in his hands in the past, will fit in. And there's going to be those growing in chemistry concerns. Now, granted, I think they're going to work it out and be fine, but they're absolutely valid concerns. Tony Parker was not very good last year.
No, and how much of a upgrade is LaMarcus Aldridge right now over Tim Duncan? Obviously, he's an upgrade, but how much of an upgrade is it, really?
Well, I think it gives him depth. You can be flexible with the minutes more. I just don't think that's the position that necessarily needed to be upgraded.
Right.
I'm surprised at how low the Clippers are, too, before we move on for this. The Clippers were, what would you say, they were fifth or something?
7% think that they're going to win.
I'm a bit more surprised how low the Rockets are, just because the Rockets made it to the Western Conference Finals last year.
I just don't think people take the Rockets seriously still after last year, because I think a lot of people look at the Rockets making the Western Conference Finals and goes, yeah, well, the Clippers blew a 3-1 lead, which is not fair to Houston, because give credit to Houston, especially in that Game 6, for not giving up and battling all the way back. They absolutely deserve all the credit of being in the Western Conference Finals, and they could very well win the West this year. But I think people kind of still have that bias a little bit. And I just don't think people are – I think a lot of people dislike Dwight Howard, too. And I think that factors in. There is bias with some of these polls sometimes.
That watch him in the preseason, and there's only so much you can take away from preseason. I get it. But watching Harden and Lawson in the backcourt, I mean, that's dangerous, because now – Harden is getting open looks because he can play off ball, and so is Ty Lawson. So it's just, and both of them are really good passers. I think that backcourt is going to be really dynamic.
Yeah, I'm excited to see them play together. I wonder if they're actually going to end up switching and making Beverly come off the bench?
I think so.
You think they'll end up doing that?
I mean, they look so good together during preseason.
Well,
when
if you
playing.
Needed more defensive-oriented lineup, you could fill Beverly in then. Because Lawson's not the best on defense, but that's, you know, Beverly can kind of be that guy to fill in where needed and be depending on the matchup.
So you are listening to the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. Tim Tompkins, Kevin Rafuse, Justin Cuzart. If you haven't had a chance yet, make sure you go ahead and check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/driveanddish. The annual GM survey. We have some takeaways from it. And one thing that Justin, our last guest who was on the show, said really eloquently when you asked him the question was, which team is most likely to win the NBA Finals? And he broke this down in a way that I hadn't thought of yet. And that was that the Cavaliers are the most likely team to make it to the finals out of all the teams, because the West is so loaded. You have the Clippers, who are reloaded again, and they've been together for another year, and they're going to be a little bit better. You have Houston, who maybe is a big sleeper. You have OKC, who is, you know, finally back to full health. And you have all these, and Golden State obviously didn't go anywhere. And the Spurs just had LaMarcus Aldridge. So you have all these teams out of the West where it's really hard to get a gauge on it. Like, who's going to come out of the West? No one really knows. Whereas the East, it seems decided by everybody but myself that it's going to be the Cavs. So it was no surprise to me, having taken Justin's point, that GMs overwhelmingly said the Cavs were going to win the NBA Finals with a 54% chance, roughly.
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes total sense. I mean, I know you're not as high on the Cavs as Justin and I are. But when you look at it, it was the same thing with Miami going back in the day. I mean, Miami got pushed by Indy a little bit, but there's no team that jumps off the page that has any chance of beating Cleveland in the East.
Any chance? I mean, that's a bold statement to say there's no team that has any chance.
I bet my house that Cleveland's going to come out of the East this year.
That would be a bad bet. I'd give it like a good 60, 70% chance that they do, but I think that depending on who they play in the East, I do think that the Heat are going to be really good. I think Atlanta's going to be really good. I think that the Bulls are going to be really good, and depending on their health situation of both teams.
Yeah, if LeBron James and Kevin Love die, then I think Cleveland won't come out of the East.
I'm not a Kyrie guy. I do think that having Mo Williams helps immensely, and we'll get into the GM survey regarding Mo Williams a little bit later, but I don't think it's a surefire bet that the Cavs make it out of the East.
Would you like to make this bet?
No, because I want to see who they're playing. I'm not going to make it now, and that's the whole thing about crowning a title contender before the season even starts. LeBron James, and this is something we didn't get to talk about during the interviews, but LeBron James is now having multiple injections for his back. His shot has declined, and LeBron James is still great, but I don't think he's the best player in the league anymore.
That's TBD to me, because I just, after seeing him in the finals, I'm not ready to lose that title of best player in the league quite yet. I think the competition is definitely knocking, but I'm not ready to say that just yet. But and that's the beauty, though, with Cleveland, is if LeBron needs time off, is you have Kevin Love, you have Kyrie Irving once he's healthy. All you need to do in the East is stay afloat. That's it. You don't need to be, you don't need to win 60 games in the East. You don't need to be the one seed in the East to avoid a particular matchup. I mean, the GM survey, if we're looking at it, they've got 97% roughly of GMs have Cleveland finishing in first, and there's only 3%.
That's kind of crazy to me that they think that Cleveland's going to get the best record, though, because you were just making the point where they don't need that number one seed. They can rest their stars throughout courses of the season to make sure they're healthy, because they aren't, and this is a phrase you like to use a lot, but they're playing for June. They aren't playing for the regular season.
Yeah, and that's fair. And I think there is a valid point of they maybe won't get the number one seed. I mean, Chicago is the only one who even registered votes in first place. And then it starts to, you get Atlanta and you get Miami and Washington.
I do
in
like
the
breakdown that they have right there, though. I think that's accurate. So as far as if the GM survey says that these are the top teams in order, in the East, and that's Cleveland, Chicago, Atlanta, Miami, Washington, Toronto, and Milwaukee. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I don't think it's wrong either.
I think all the teams that were mentioned in that survey are teams that we thought were going to be in the mix. I mean, the only team that didn't get mentioned at all is Indy, but I don't think Indy is necessarily as good as these teams.
No.
Well, I think they're a playoff team. I don't think they're a top team in the East, though. I don't necessarily agree that Chicago is the second team behind Cleveland. I'm personally a little more on the Atlanta, Miami, and Washington bandwagon. I think if Otto Porter makes the leap this year, I think Washington can very well be number two. But again, it's still, to me, it's going through Cleveland.
And that's what the NBA GMs are saying as well.
Well, and looking at just the teams that will win the 2016 NBA Finals, you know, we mentioned the East. Cleveland is number one. They're at 53.6%. San Antonio is two. They're at 25. Then Golden State and Oklahoma City. And there's something to be said about that. You know, Golden State, only 18% of GMs basically are picking the Warriors to repeat as champions. And fun fact, that is the third lowest percentage for a defending champion in the 13 years that they've been doing this NBA.com GM survey.
Well, speaking of that, too, and who will win the 2015-2016 MVP, Steph Curry comes in fifth with 7% of the vote. I mean, it just seems like people are writing off the Warriors.
I don't get it. Like, and we, you know, it's in my intro quote. I've said it a bunch of times. Why are we writing off the Warriors? Who is writing off the Warriors? They have the exact same team that just won the NBA title last year that was historically great. I understand how difficult it is to repeat, and I don't necessarily think, I didn't pick on this show that I thought the Warriors are going to repeat, but the fact that no one's giving them a chance to repeat is ridiculous. I mean, Steph Curry, I mean, did you just see the underhanded lob he threw to Iggy the other night?
That was good.
It really looks like he's playing video games out there, and the overwhelming favorite to win his fifth MVP, they said, is LeBron James, but again,
I don't agree with that.
Why? Right. Like, LeBron may not play the entire season. And again, we've said it a billion times. We're going to say it again. They're playing for June. They're not worried about MVPs at this point. No, the only MVP LeBron's worried about is a finals MVP.
Yeah, they have Anthony Davis with 25%. I've heard a lot of people saying Anthony Davis will win MVP this year. Personally, I think it's more Kevin Durant, though. And that's because I feel like Kevin Durant has a lot to prove this year.
Oh, Durant's angry. I mean, Durant's got a chip on his shoulder. People have forgotten, frankly. You know, Kevin Durant always was seen as the number two, in my opinion, to LeBron. And the school of thinking was going to be, as LeBron starts to decline, is that KD overtakes him as the best player in the league. And it seems, you know, since Curry has been more on the national stage and with the rise of Anthony Davis that we expect to be just on an immense level over the next few years, that Durant's window has almost been overpassed. And I don't get why. Like, there are huge red flags with Kevin Durant. I mean, you're coming off the foot injury. He had a procedure that has never been done before. So there's, you know, this, trust me, from a Sixers fan, I know all about foot injuries. Like, they're terrifying. We've seen foot injuries rob NBA players of some of the prime of their career. You know, you look at a guy like Bill Walton, but I don't know. I'm higher on the Thunder, I think, than a lot of people are. I think they're as good as San Antonio and Golden State.
Oh, I think that if you're looking at the Cavs and making it to the finals, one of the teams as a Cavs fan I would not want to face would be the Oklahoma City Thunder. Bringing it back to your point a little while ago about how people are writing off the Warriors, is last year they were number one in offensive efficiency and number one in defensive efficiency. And that's something that is like historic. You talked about how good they were historically, the point differential that they had. I mean, you have a team that runs the best offense and has the best defense, and that they shouldn't be overlooked for any reason. One question that you and I talked about this a little bit, right, when we posted, because we put a post up on our Facebook page at Drive and Dish NBA, if you haven't had a chance to check it out, is that if you were to start a franchise today and could sign any one player, and I was sort of shocked by this, but it depends how you're digesting the question. Anthony Davis came in number one with 86%. Kevin Durant, number two, and LeBron James, number three. They're tied for that with 7% apiece. Last year, LeBron James was 50%, so he's obviously taking a dip. Were you surprised at this?
No, not at all. And maybe it's because I feel like I'm the resident Anthony Davis fanboy of this podcast. But if you're talking a franchise, the question itself is, if you're starting a franchise today.
Today. I think today being the key word.
I think if you're going for, if this is a one-game scenario, or if this is a one-season scenario, and you're looking to create the best team in 2015, I think the percentages are a little skewed then, because I think KD, I think LeBron, I think Steph Curry all have great arguments for one game and one season.
Absolutely.
But if you're building a franchise for the future, I don't know how you don't pick Anthony Davis with what he already can do at his young age, what his projections
are set to be. I mean, Anthony Davis, if Anthony Davis can stay healthy and continue to grow the way he has the last few seasons, and I'm confident enough to say this now, and maybe a decade from later I'll just be shaking my head, but you know, Anthony Davis has the potential and already may be a generational talent. I mean, you're talking a big man who can move the ball like a guard, who can stretch the floor, who is an excellent defender, the guy is just an absolute freak. And I think if you're going long term, I don't know how you can't build your team around Anthony Davis with just what he can be. I mean, Anthony Davis is already this good, and he's 22 years old. LeBron and KD just aren't that young anymore. And even Curry, while Curry is a younger player, just the raw ability that's there at 22.
Yeah, you and I don't agree that often when it comes to basketball, but I do think if you were talking about picking one of the players in the NBA, whether that be Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, or Anthony Davis, and you want to win a championship this year, that you would absolutely pick one of those. But I do think if you were to start a franchise today, starting a franchise, you'd absolutely have to go with Anthony Davis. Now, this was surprising to me. Which team will be the most improved in 2015-2016? Now, Oklahoma City won that with 25% of the vote, but it blows my mind that it was not damn near 100%, because you're looking at a team that didn't make the playoffs last year to a team with a healthy Durant, with a healthy Russell Westbrook, hardest name ever to say, and a healthy Serge Ibaka, whatever you think of Enes Kanter, he's a good quality backup, that have made some real strides. And how can they not be the most improved team in the NBA? They could go from not making the playoffs to the number one seed.
Well, I think the improvement is relative here. Oklahoma City was already on the verge of making the playoffs last year. And I'm inferring the thinking here. I'm assuming that that's what GMs were thinking. And in terms of, you know, because I agree, at the base of the question, it's a no-brainer that Oklahoma City and Indiana are the two teams, to me, that purely improved just by addition. You know, Oklahoma City gets Kevin Durant back and healthy, and they get Russell Westbrook and Ibaka, ideally, for the entire season. And Indiana gets a full season of Paul George. So, and Indiana was fifth on this list behind, you know, Milwaukee, New Orleans, and Miami were the three middle teams in this top five here. But that's the only logic I'm thinking of here. If not, I mean, I agree. I think it's a no-brainer that Oklahoma City is the most improved, because I think they go from a team that just missed the playoffs to a team that could very well win the finals just by getting their own players back.
I mean, that is the definition of it, like, vast improvement. That's not slight. Like, Milwaukee got 17% of the vote, and I'm not on the Milwaukee train. I'm sorry. I'm just not. I'm not a Michael Carter Williams guy. You know, I just think that once they lost Michael Carter Williams, they lost Brandon Knight and took on Michael Carter Williams, they were significantly worse. But the fact that they got 17% of the vote compared to OKC's 25% of the vote, like, that's mind blowing.
Well, it's also recency bias. You got to remember, Milwaukee was one of the biggest surprises last year, or they went from the worst team in the league overall 2 years ago.
Give OKC the huge bump then by that argument.
But people forget about OKC. That's the thing, is because you haven't seen Kevin Durant consistently on a basketball court.
But that's why they
should
have gotten more votes, because they forget.
I know that, but people forget. Like, and I think a lot of people are riding the Milwaukee wave right now. Milwaukee is a good young team, and I think they have a lot of pieces to build around. They get Jabari Parker back this year, which I think is an underrated point. But
this survey had Jabari Parker winning Rookie of the Year last year by, like, and it's now like 86%.
Well, Jabari,
so I forgot about him.
Jabari,
I can't wait.
Parker was, and going back to last year when we talked about it, Jabari Parker was the most NBA-ready player last year. I didn't think he was the best player in the draft, but in terms of instant impact, I mean, Jabari Parker was making that when he was on the floor. Wiggins was more of a project. Embiid was more of a project. Where Parker, you know, you're ready to go the way it is now. It's kind of the same, you know, conversation you have with Okafor and Towns at this point. I think Towns realistically projects to be a better player than Jahlil Okafor, but I also think Towns has a lot more development that he needs to do, where Jahlil Okafor kind of has an NBA-ready game now.
Yeah, Towns has been, as far as these GM surveys have been going, they've been really high on Towns as far as being the best player in the draft and the best player in 5 years.
I mean, Towns has.
All about Moutier, though. Like, I think Moutier is going to be fucking amazing.
Well, and we can talk about that now. It's a good switch into that. The 2015-2016 Rookie of the Year, you had Jahlil Okafor at number one with roughly 45% of the votes. Karl Anthony Towns is number two. He had about 35%. Emmanuel Mudiay was three. He had roughly 14%. D'Angelo Russell and Miles Turner were the only other players to receive votes. And, I mean, I'm in the agreement with you is that I'm surprised to see Mudiay this low because Mudiay's already played professional ball in China. I think he's going to come in and get minutes right away because he fills that Ty Lawson role with Denver. I mean, we've talked about it on the show a lot, is that Rookie of the Year a lot of time is about minutes and it's about who's on the court the most. Karl Anthony Towns has other big men like Gorgui Dieng and Pekovic in Minnesota that he's going to be sharing time with. And again, Towns, in my opinion, I think will be the best player from this draft class. However, I don't think it's going to be the first season. It's the way that LeBron won Rookie of the Year in 2003, but that to me, if you look back at it historically, is one of the bigger travesties, is that Carmelo Anthony was a better player that year. And I think that's kind of the same thing now. I think Towns, like LeBron, if you're making that comparison, will be a better player long term. But to me, it's either Okafor or Mudiay. I think it's a toss-up, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if Emmanuel Mudiay won Rookie of the Year. In fact, if I was betting today, I'd probably bet on Mudiay more than Okafor.
Yeah, I'm calling it on Mudiay. The way that he reads defenses and he makes the right decision and gets the ball consistently throughout preseason, throughout summer league to those corner. He gets the ball to the guy with the highest probability of the shot going in. And those are those are really smart moves for a kid that's 19 years old. Don't want to spend too long talking about this. One thing I did find really interesting is what rule most needs change? And the top three. Number one was a change to the lottery system, the odds, how that works. Number two was add rights to D-League players in a longer draft. And by longer draft, they want a third round, which I am all about. And number three was playoff format. They want 1 through 16. I'm all about all of this.
Well, let's start with the playoff format. And the playoff format, I think, isn't a huge deal. Well, the playoff format is going to be more of a player's thing. And that's always what we talked about. The playoff format, I would love to see 1 through 16 too. But it's the travel differences. And that's, I think, is going to be the bone to pick with the players. Is, say, for example, let's say 1 through 16 next year is Cleveland versus, maybe Boston. We'll just go with the 8 seed from the East. Well, it was Brooklyn last year, but regardless. So let's say it's a Boston or a Brooklyn. Cleveland and Boston and Brooklyn, not really that far from each other. Quick little flight. But let's say the number 2 seed is Golden State, and they're playing the number 15 seed, who is, let's say, for just sake of an East Coast team, Miami. There's a big travel difference between going from San Francisco and Miami back and forth than there is from going to Cleveland to Boston or Cleveland to Chicago or, something like that. And that's going to be, that I think is the main bone to pick of why this doesn't happen already.
I mean, I agree with you, but I also think that they're taking charter jets. I think that if a situation like that does arise, if they do make a change to it, they could make sure that the games are 3 days apart or something. Like, I think there's ways to go around it. I am all about the best 16 teams in the NBA getting in. I'm also really happy they got rid of divisions. Divisions were so fucking stupid.
Yeah, division formats we're both in agreement with. And in the terms of the third round of the draft, I would like to see it, but I think the bigger step to me is with the D-League rights that got mentioned. And I want the D-League to become a true minor league system for the NBA. The NHL has the AHL and even the ECHL and the Pacific League now.
The MLB's minor league system is phenomenal.
Right.
And is everything basketball
where you have
should
tiers.
Be.
And that's the thing with basketball is, you want to get this third round in, but you look at these guys in the second round right now, and I mean, there's so many that don't even touch an NBA court. And I don't want to devalue the second round pick. I mean, I'm a Sixers fan. Like, I know the value of second round picks, but I would want to see a more filled out minor league system. I'd love to see every NBA team get their own D-League team. I would love to see. And with guaranteed rights, I think there is that because you want to keep players on these minor league contracts or sign players that have the option to do both and so that you can keep their rights. And then because the problem is now is, you look at a guy, I mean, not to be a homer, but you look at the Sixers and you look at a guy like Jordan McRae or you look at a guy like JP Tokoto, who is a second round pick for us this year. And, you sign these one-year deals because you don't want to go play in the D-League and you'd rather play overseas, but then we lose the rights to them potentially because you can't lock them down ideally and you can't pay them the two-way salary that they might get otherwise if they were to go back and forth. And
right. Though, I mean, they need to make a change in D-League pay. You have D-League players who are making roughly $30,000 a year.
And the incentive's not there. Like, right. I get it. I totally understand because, you go to China, you go to Spain, you go to Turkey, you go to all these other legitimate NBA, or not NBA, but these other legitimate international basketball leagues, and the incentive is to go there. You can make more money and play almost equally as good a competition. I mean, $25,000, $30,000 a year is just, it's not a lot relative to what you can make overseas if you're that good of a player that can play on one of those teams.
Being somebody that works in radio, I can attest that it's just not a lot. Nothing relative about it. It's just not a lot of money.
Right. And so if you have the opportunity to make more elsewhere, it started back in the day when your boy Josh Childress went over to Greece because they paid him more money.
I think the Suns are still paying Josh Childress. I can't remember if Josh Childress came off the books last year, if they have another year of paying Josh Childress, but oh my God.
We really appreciate you guys listening to this episode. And again, please leave us a review on iTunes. It's not for our ego or anything crazy like that. It really helps us move up and down the ranks. So again, please leave us a review on iTunes and we will read them on the show.
And by all means, if you do leave us a review on any of the Android apps, whether it be Stitcher, Podbean, TuneIn, any of that stuff, let us know, because we don't always check in. We'd love to read your review on the show as well. All you got to do is hit us up with a tweet at DriveAndDishNBA on Twitter.
Yes, and if you'd like to follow us individually, you can follow Tim at RadioTimNBA. You can follow me at JustinC on the air, and you can follow Kevin at RefuseToLose.
I think we've done enough dancing for today, so why don't we dance Wednesday?
See you, Star Side.
Okay, well, I'm out of here.
Good to know.
Get up. Hey!
Let's go while we're young!
Alright, I think they get the point.